Have you ever felt the echoes of your lineage calling and also the person your soul is inviting you to become? Today's episode is a deep dive into that exact tension and the freedom that happens on the other side. I'm sitting down with Serena Arora, the number one international best-selling author of Unbound. Serena's story is a stunning tapestry. She's an immigrant daughter who turned the pressure of generational expectations into what she calls immigrant, a fierce, resilient strength that she now uses to help others heal. In this conversation, we're going to cover the power of ritual, healing the lineage, and the Costa Rica connection. Stick around as we explore how to turn your story of limitation into your greatest source of strength. Let's dive into the conversation, and thanks for being here. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman, and I'm really, really excited today because I am sitting here with Serena Arora. She is the number one international best-selling author of Unbound. And I want to read the subtitle to that that I had written down, An Immigrant Daughter's Journey of Reckoning, Unraveling Shame, and Reclaiming Her Worth. And we're going to be talking about that book just at the top of the podcast. A little bit more about Serena before we dive in. She's a yoga practitioner, teacher, an Ayurvedic health practitioner, and as noted in the subtitle of the book, an immigrant daughter finding her worth amid generational expectations. I think a lot of listeners are going to relate to so many different parts of your story, Serena. And as life has it, the path you've walked and the personal transformation you've gone through to allow you to embody your work even more fully. I believe that's how it happens. And also very excited for you to tell us about your retreat center in Costa Rica, because like I told you before we recorded, I haven't had anybody that's running a retreat center. So I think it's going to be a wonderful thing to offer to the listeners. But I want to just say welcome and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Maureen. It is an honor. Thank you so much for having me and knowing that this is a divine meeting and a divine union. I look forward to what we can uncover.
Uncover, definitely. Yeah. And thank you for your flexibility. I think I had dropped the ball a couple of weeks ago for the just to say we were meeting today. And I said to your PR person, can we just record today? Because just reading through your bio and the work you're offering, it felt like, oh, this is great. I don't even need to meet Serena to know that this will be a powerful interview. So
thank you. I love that. I love that.
I thought, you know, I know that I want to touch upon the Ayurveda, your yoga practices, maybe that's tied into the retreat center, but I thought maybe we could start with this beautiful book you've written. And it's called Unbound, An Immigrant Daughter's Journey of Reckoning, Unraveling Shame, and Reclaiming Her Worth. Mm-hmm. Was this book in formation for a long time? How did it come about? I'm excited just to know about the title, even the word Unbound.
Thank you. It's a great question. And I get asked that question often, actually. And it's so interesting how this book came to be. I feel that it has been a whisper in my head for over a decade. Write your book, write your book, write your book. But I had no idea what I was going to write about. You know, for me as a yoga therapist for over 25 years, an Ayurvedic health practitioner for over 15, it's for me, it was like, oh, I'll write a book about Ayurveda and yoga, clearly. And it didn't come to me. That is not what came to me. What came to me was write about your life, write about how you came to be the person that you are, the woman that you are today. And so my journey from a little girl Aurora, I call her in the book, you know, born by C-section. I was in an incubator for a month when I was born. So, you know, I wasn't touched. I wasn't breastfed. I didn't have skin to skin. I was born in the 70s. So for me, it was even before I could speak, it was something where I needed to learn and develop a type of nurturing that I never got. And
Wow.
so, So this was my journey. This book is my journey. And to answer your question about the title, it is, I called it Unbound. My mom is Chinese, my dad is Indian. And so my mom is was born in Malaysia, grew up in Singapore, and her mother, born in China, her grandmother, so my mom's grandmother had her feet bound. And it was the practice of foot binding, breaking a young girl's feet, by crushing the bones, rebinding it, and making them small to denote beauty. Or, to me, it was a sign of submissiveness, a sign of depending on the male counterpart. And in some traditions, I've read that it's like a status. So, like, since the woman or the little young woman who could not actually walk or use her feet to do anything, she had other people do it for her. So she was, she had, although she was subservient, she was also had servants. So it was a really interesting dynamic. And so my mom's mom, so my grandmother, escaped foot binding. She ran away because she was set to have her feet bound as well. And so she ran away. She found my grandfather. They moved to Malaysia, where my mom was born. And so for me, although my mother escaped foot binding, or my grandmother escaped foot binding, my mother escaped foot binding, I escaped foot binding. To me, it's like I still inherit and I've carried this generational fear, this doubt, this. We've escaped something. We are consistently escaping something. And now I see my 86-year-old mom, she has bunions and she's very afraid of so many things. She also is experiencing dementia. And what's coming up for her is all this fear, fear of the caregivers, fear of the situation, fear of death, fear of so many things. And so for me, writing this book was my way of breaking this generational curse, this pattern, whatever it is, of fear, and saying, like, how do I walk? Even though we have escaped bound feet, we're still walking on these very tightly bound, unbound feet.
No, thank you for sharing all of that. It just is almost like I have a catch in my throat. Just the tears almost want to come for the lineage of women you've come from. And wow, the bravery, the courageousness, and the knowing and the ability of your grandmother to actually flee the country and move elsewhere. I can't even imagine. I mean, that's the thing. I've grown up in the United States. It's like the life I have lived has been, with relative ease, and to think like, wow. But I really love the point you're making about the fear that still resides. And do you feel that that comes down within even the cellular makeup of yourself?
100%. Absolutely. I carry that. And I call it like this backpack of, what I'm carrying. This con it came out in my conditioning. It came out with me doubting myself. And every time I wanted to, I knew there was a path for me that felt more aligned. I took a different path. I took the path that I led with my mind versus the path that I led with my heart, because I was con so conditioned to fear that, even though, it's very interesting, is there's like a great juxtaposition, because my mother, my grandmother, my mother as well, they both traveled far to leave and to, and they're I come from a very fierce line of women. And what I've come to realize is that fierceness has, yes, gotten us to where we are. And it also gets in the way of living a very aligned, loving life that is like full of surrender and ease.
So, yeah, right. It feels like that fierceness is beautiful, but it also can be a survival mechanism. And then that what I feel like the life you're leading now and the cellular changes you're making and everything is all about the relationship with self and inner relationship to heal. And isn't it incredible that There, it feels so much like I might be just a little bit older than you, depending on where you were born in the 70s, but that our generation has a very big task, that so many resources are becoming available that we can do this, and we can bring others along with us to heal what's come before us. And it's a big task, but it's absolutely doable and possible and here for us.
This is exactly it. We get to grow.
Ugh.
We get to change. We get to break these patterns. And we have all the resources at our fingertips, you know, that we can do this. And how lucky are we? And it took me 50 years to really figure that out, you know, and I'm still working on it. I'm 52 this year, and I will be working. I still have a lot to resolve with my dad, you know. Now, you know, I feel like with this book, I've resolved a lot of things with my mom. I've been able to accept her for who she is, not for the woman I wish she had been for me, and to be able to grow up in a way that I have let her go and let like her forgiven me, forgiven my entire lineage of maternal lineage, you know, of whatever it is that I needed to forgive. And I've set the backpack down. You know, I was like, okay, put this, I can drop the backpack. I don't need to carry that anymore. And so now it's my work is with my dad. So
And so, what are your ingredients for, like, wow, the transformation that's occurred in you for your maternal line? Like, what do you think that has led to that, the ability to come to the place of forgiveness? And you can, you know, even share what those practices are, because I know that it's in the work that you offer, but what's that been for you?
Well, you know, it's been a journey, and I say it like there's a thing where you cannot rush the divine. So I do believe that it's, you know, taken this long, you know, half a century to really come to fruition or to even come to the surface, because I don't know if I had would have been able to see this even 10 years ago. Even though I've been teaching yoga for 25 years, I've been a therapist, you know, I've been the Ayurvedic health practitioner. I've known like Ayurveda has been in my life for that long as well, actually longer. You know, my dad has given me, we grew up using food as medicine and, you know, seasonal transitions, knowing which foods to eat during which season and which ones not to eat. And so I was doing yoga ever since I was a little girl, you know, with my dad, and my dad's from India. So for him, it was like, for me, I thought this was what everyone did. And I was born in Canada. And so for me, it was, that wasn't the case. And I was in a very, you know, a part of Canada where I was the only brown girl actually in my whole school, except for my sister and in my class, and, you know, all the way up to grade nine. And then I had, you know, a couple different people, and I talk about this in my book. But what brought me to this place of realization has been this journey of movement. So I lived in Canada. I grew up in a city in Calgary. And then I moved and I lived and I worked in these very small towns where I just did not fit. I did not belong. I was this, you know, force that came in and that was like, you know, had this, what I call, and I coined the term immigrant in my book. It's like I had this grit, you know, and it's, and even what I noticed, I got married at the time, or I got married, and then I was like really noticing as you're in relationship how that comes out, right? For me, it was like being alone, you didn't really notice it. But when you're in relationship, you really start to see yourself. The mirror of reflection is there. It's like, okay. And what I was doing was I was running away. I was using my tightly bound, unbound feet to run away. So I ended up getting divorced. I ended up leaving these small towns. I ended up leaving, moving to the US. I lived in California and New Mexico. I was teaching yoga. I was teaching Ayurveda. I was doing the thing. And yet, here I was. Burning out, like, you know, using the immigrant for a way to keep doing it no matter what. I'm going to succeed no matter what, even though it felt off, even though it felt misaligned. And I often call that even femigrant in the at the end of my book. It's like this feminine, like wanting to control the outcome, you know. And even in my relationships and romantic relationships where I after my divorce, it was like how I wanted to control that situation as well. And it took coming to the jungle. So I moved from the US, I moved to Costa Rica, and the whole journey is written through my in my book and how I ended up here. And the realization for me was that, yes, the mirror reflection in my relationship and my romantic relationship, but also in my romantic relationship where he had a daughter. And so here I was in this mother role, and I was like, whoa, how did I absolutely see my own mother in this role that I had taken on overnight, literally, and how I was using femigrit, immigrant to control a situation that was very not in my control at all.
Interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
And
just that like what you're saying about well, I loved when you said the divine is not in a rush. That's interesting to me because this isn't all scripted, right? This is not all like, okay, these things we were led to believe these things are happening by this age and you're and all these things until it kind of falls apart. But that being easy with ourselves and even the part of you that didn't know until she knew, that it's like, oh, well, maybe that's like in the divine order. And can are we I've always heard like, oh, you can resolve that, like just like that, like within energetic work and everything. And yet I find in my own life that it's gonna take years to get where I am today has just been consistency and coming back to self. And like you're saying, like, oh my gosh, this beautiful mother role comes into your life and it's a new opportunity to be like, see parts of yourself that maybe you hadn't been with yet. Or,
And
yeah.
it was very challenging. So for
Yeah.
me, it was like being in the challenge, and I'm used to challenges. For me, immigrant was like, here's the challenge, like give it to me, and like
Yes.
I'll succeed, quote unquote, and this is what I'm going to end up doing. But this was one challenge that I felt like was failing at every turn. And so for me, this was like the ego death. This was the turning point where it was like, okay, I'm not going to, I can't succeed at this the way that I'm attempting to. It was like the approach had to change. I had to surrender. I had to create a loving, like I said at the top of the hour or the call, is like a loving, nurturing, feminine energy that I never received. I didn't get that growing up. I had a tough love. My mother was a very, she's Chinese, very Asian, like very hard, and it wasn't a soft place to land. It didn't feel so. For me, it was like that's how what love is. Love is criticism. Love is telling you what to do. It's judgment. It's a lot of the things that I really had to break. And so for me, being in this relationship showed me how hard I was and had as a woman. And it was like, how do I soften? How do I surrender? And I'm still working on it, and the idea that I came back, COVID actually in 2020, I was ended up in Canada and they were here. So it was, I was apart for a year. And when I came back, and I do say this in the book, it was like so much changed for me because like I actually started working on me, not necessarily in relationship, but I was like, how do I actually soften? How do I develop this feminine? I mean, your podcast is called Sisterhood, Mystical Sisterhood. It's like, what does it really mean to be a feminine presence in someone's life? And what does it mean to be embodied, an embodied feminine presence? Because I find that we can be women, but if we're, disintegrated feminine, which is very common right now, is like there's a lot of disintegrated feminine energy where it's like we're loud and we're saying what we think. And even though we've been taught to do that, it's like, okay, speak up, have a voice. But where it's coming from is different. We have to find out where is this voice coming from. And what I had to discover was that my voice could not come from the throat up. My voice, I had to start connecting back to my heart. What is it that I truly, truly am feel aligned to? And then I had to go even further down to my gut. What do I know is true for me? Not what I've been told is true. And then I had to go even further, and I had to really connect to my womb energy. And that is where the wisdom lies. That's where feminine wisdom lives. And so for me, doing a lot of womb work, a lot of connecting back to my body and very low down in my body was a practice.
Oh, that's real. I love the way you just described that too, from head to throat. It's going through the chakras too, right?
Yes,
That you're
yes.
kind of like, and just down to that
Right.
feminine center of
And
creativity, of wisdom.
yeah, and s teaching it. I taught chakras. I taught yoga. I taught energetic bodies. I taught all of these things and, the koshas, all of it. It's like, where was I embodied in it? It wasn't in practice. It was, I know it all, and you can know everything. That's the thing. We can know everything, but are we actually embodying those practices, living those practices in everything off the mat? Off the mat, you know?
I love this discussion around, because when you were describing the changes that occurred within you when the mothering part came into your life and everything you've been working on, I thought about, like, in culture too, not only conditioning, but like with like here we're living in, I think across the world, like it can be very dualistic. And so it's either like, oh, well, I'm not spiritual and you are, but that's so untrue because we're all spiritual beings. So in a sense, like we shut down parts of ourselves in order to survive, probably,
Yes.
but just like over identify, like you're saying, like the femigrant or the immigrant, right? It's just
Yeah.
like the over identification. And I have three children, and I always knew that I wanted to do something differently. Like, if anyone that's been listening for a long time, I say that often, but I didn't know what, because my first child was born in 2000, and I'm like, I don't know how to do this. I know I want to do something differently. But years later, one of the coach trainings I took was in conscious parenting. And the funny thing about conscious parenting is really it's all about the reparenting and the remothering of
Yes.
yourself and
Yes.
understanding things like, the basic principles of like the, parent child or caregiver child is not a hierarchy, or, their wisdom may even surpass yours, but
Yes.
just, and, just all the different ways. And that's why I just am always so excited about that work and glad that you're bringing it up, because your journey. And the other thing that really gets me excited too is I love the way you're describing your own journey, but I feel like so much awakening is happening. So if a listener sees themselves in any part of your story, whether it's like they feel like, oh, they're kind of on a slower timeline and will this ever get resolved for myself, or the frustration and overwhelm that come, I mean, even with parenting, it's not the easiest job out there. And but
Nope.
just the constant going within and knowing that there, it's just like a continual knowing of yourself. A lot of people are using that word, remembering why we came right now. It's just such a beautiful process, and it's why we're here, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it takes getting into those messy parts for us to realize and to be able to dig a little deeper to be able to uncover this. And like you said, we all have this. We all have this inner knowing, this inner wisdom, and this is where Ayurveda comes in. It's like there is this inner knowing, this inner wisdom that we all have, that it has been buried or we've disconnected or disassociated from it, or we're focused out on the external versus the internal. And it's also a lot of this looking for something, looking to learn something more, to go, you took the course, beautiful. And it was like, oh wait, I have to like learn to go back inside. I have to reparent myself. That's exactly what, they're showing us. It's like we are these little kids that are in these adult bodies that have been, that are come out every once in a while in those messy parts. And whether we have to acknowledge that, see it. And that was for me, it was like being in this role of stepmom, which I didn't really resonate with that word or anything. But for me, it was like, oh, I had to actually see, I saw myself in her. I was like, I was acting like a 9-year-old kid, little girl. I was acting like a 10-year-old little girl, you know? And it's like, how do you actually use those realizations, admit to it, have humility enough, vulnerability to actually admit those things and to see it and say, oh shoot, I gotta change. I have to move differently. I have to grow up. And how do we reparent and mature ourselves in that process? And it takes time.
It's kind of cool what's happening too, because in a sense, like when I started Mystical Sisterhood, I was like all about the universe spirituality. And I love all that. I'm not an expert in any one area, but like then I think last year I started to realize, like, wait a minute, we're all on these human journeys and a lot is coming up for people. So almost like it was like the spirituality was so big. And then I was like, yeah, but I can't escape the humanism because everyone I know, pretty much everyone, and if they haven't yet, it's probably coming, like big stuff, whether it's like things with our children or our health or our parents with dementia or whatever it is. But it's almost like a beautiful time. This is occurring to me now where, oh my gosh, our humanness and our spiritual soul self are they're both elevated. It's all like together
Absolutely.
and so much opportunity.
So much opportunity. And this is the thing, it's such an exciting time because we get to do this and we get to have conversations like this where people can hear it and actually like something might spark something within them. And we don't have to have the same journey. We aren't having the same journey. You know, we're all having a human experience, but it's all looking very differently. And so for me, when I wrote this book, I was like, oh, I'm thinking of these women, you know, going through what they, as a teenager, you know, I wrote what I went through as a child, as a little girl, as a teenager, as a woman and moving into womanhood, and then what that meant. And I is like, how does that occur for so many women? Yes, it's relatable to some. And I even had a white middle-aged man come to me and say, wow, I related to so much in your book. And so it can be, it's like, wow, this is like a revelation to me. I was like, we're not, you don't have to be living the same thing. You don't have to come from the same place to have this experience, this human experience, and to learn from it and to go on this journey together. We're really on this journey together. And
I love that you said that about the men because I know several men who listen and so often posit this is for women, but you know, not anymore. It's like all just a, it's for everyone. And I hear, you know, I don't listen to a lot of male podcasters, but the ones I do, they're saying very wise things I'm learning from. So it's like,
Absolutely.
no, it's kind of like everyone's welcome at the table, no matter what it's called. And we can
Of
see that, like,
course. Yeah.
beautiful generation right now. I just feel like there's everyone's uniqueness is we're laying the table for that, right? And the acceptance.
I learned the most from my partner who I'm with right now. You know, he has taught me so much and consciously, subconsciously, all of it. And for me, I know that I asked for this relationship. You know, I wrote a letter to the universe before we met, like years before we met, actually. And I asked for what I really wanted to do was like grow that's had a similar something similar so we can relate to each other, but also that we're moving in the same direction. That I wanted to walk this walk with a partner and really grow in a way that was going to benefit other people. And had I not written that letter, I might not have recognized him. And so for me, it was so it's like, how do you? Yeah, and this is in the book, you know, I really talk about how I thanked the universe in that moment. I was like, thank you. But, and like I said, it was in a moment where I had to cut off a relationship, you know, I was divorced, but I had to really cut that relationship energetically off. And we did that in a full moon ceremony. I write about the full moon ceremony in the book and how, so yes, so spiritually we can still, you know, we have all these energetic ties. And so how do we actually cut the energetic ties to clear the space for something new on a more, on a human level? on
That's
a
cool.
on the
Yes.
human
Yeah.
experience.
That's beautiful. And so I wanted to ask you about the Ayurveda today too, because I want to get your thoughts on, anything that you want to share with the listeners, just that because I think so many people just have like the littlest of knowledge. But okay, we're moving into new times. This is my personal question around this, but we're kind of moving into new times of elevated consciousness. And I just feel like when we're in consideration of what we're taking into our bodies, it also can serve to allow us to be like a cleaner or clearer vessel of the work we're here to do, or the, you know what I'm saying? And so can you talk a little bit to that and why you think Ayurveda is important? And I have a feeling people's interest in it, like a lot of ancient things coming back, is increasing. But what's here for us to know about just everything I just said?
Yeah, I love what you said. You said it beautifully. Yes, and that is it. It is, we are the vessel. We are a vessel. And so if we have obstacles in the way between in the vessel, this is blocking any kind of information that we are meant to receive from the divine, from the universe, and put out into the world. And so, have we blocked it with many, many things? We've blocked it through experiences. We've blocked it through trauma. We've blocked it through food, the foods that we eat. We've blocked it through the relationships that we have, that create what we call in Ayurveda ama. Right? Ama is the toxicity, or it's the toxic morbid waste product that is the residue that is left behind. It's the what we have not been able to ingest, digest, assimilate, and eliminate, or what we have ingested that we weren't able to digest, assimilate, and eliminate. And so what are we taking in that we are not able to digest? And what we need to digest is fire. It's Agni. In Ayurveda, we call this Agni. It's the fire. It's the courage. I call it self-esteem. I call it this motivation, this like desire, this passion for life. And that is how we digest what comes to us because life is going to life. And so, how do we, as this vessel, digest the thing that comes to us in a way that we can assimilate, keep what we need, and eliminate that which we no longer need and that we can no longer use in a way that is productive. And so what's happening is as we use the practices of Ayurveda's yoga sister science, 5,000-year-old science, medical science from India, that uses food as medicine, that uses lifestyle practices and coming back to the natural circadian rhythms of nature to clear the vessel, as you said.
Love it.
And yeah, and so it is not a magic pill. It is a daily practice. It's something that we do daily. What are we? And the question, there's only one question. And I often talk to my clients and my students about this. It's like, what is it that you are taking in? Now, does that contribute to the fabric of your well-being or does it deplete it? There's only two ways. So if it's contributing to the fabric of my well-being, great. Let's do more of that. If it is depleting the fabric of my well-being, let's stop that. And so only you know.
That's
Only
what I
you
was gonna
know.
ask. Only
Yeah.
you know.
Because what is medicine for one person can be poison for another. So that's why there's no prescription, there's no, one size fits all. It's like, what is happening in you? Where have you come from? What are you unbinding? And what have you experienced? What do you need to unbind and unravel so that you can have this clear vessel? And that is different for everybody. I mean, there's definitely a philosophy. Ayurveda has this beautiful philosophy, and it's like increases like. So whatever you have within you, and then if you have an experience outside of you, it's going to amplify that experience within you. Opposites often bring balance. So if you have an internal experience, can you change your external environment so that it's the opposite? And that would more often than not always bring balance. And then you can find more clarity, more ease. And this is what we're looking for, is ease. We want ease, because the opposite of ease is dis-ease. And when you are not at ease, it's a sign. It's a voice. Your body is speaking to you, saying, nope, this isn't working. And so where do you keep bringing yourself to a, and it's not like easy, you know, it's not like get out of this challenging situation. It's, does the body know that what it's going, if it's at ease, it can then actually ingest that challenging experience. It can digest it and it can use it to grow.
So beautiful. There's really beautiful principles, totally speaking to me. And I feel like for people that the order in which we kind of do our healing work, in a sense, like you said, like it's different for people, right? And I feel like, okay, I've gone through a lot of emotional healing myself, and that physical is, and it's not about perfection, right? Like that's
Never.
another kind of trap to fall into. And especially depending on the culture where you grew up in around your body and your relationship with your body. And a lot for a lot, that's not in alignment. And so, but I do know that that's what's coming online now. And I think about just like things like menopause and all everything that's written about it. And I've been thinking a lot about the spiritual side of menopause, and it's just it's a learning part of our lives. Yes, it's a change, but it's not like we've got all these books and these like things, and it's like, whoa. Can we come at this a different way? And it's like what you said at the top, but more about the softness and the feminine, and like how do we do these in more feminine ways?
Beautiful. Menopause is a rite of passage. It is a transition, just as we got our menstruation, you know, we moved, that was a rite of passage. And I do talk about that in the book as well. Very interesting. And then moving out of this chapter of our lives and moving into the next chapter of our lives, it's a transition. And in Ayurveda, this is where, that's where Ayurveda shines, is in the transitions. Because when you keep this clear, and it's again not about perfection, like you said, it is perfection, in fact, stands in the way of being a clear vessel of the surrender. If you are in a way nourishing your body, nourishing your mind, and contributing to the fabric of your well-being will carry you through the transition with ease.
Love
It
that.
is when you are not in balance, when you are in dis-ease, that the transitions are that difficult. They become very challenging. And so Ayurveda is that. So if we can actually implement Ayurveda before the transitions, and we're transitioning all the time, but as we move through seasons of our life and through seasons of the planet and through this collective seasons that we're going through as well, we're going through a really challenging time right now, collectively. And so there's a lot of heavy element, the element of heaviness. And so it's like, how do we actually get less heavy? How do we start bringing in the opposite qualities? Drop the backpack, drop the heavy foods, the heaviness, right, of our minds, of our worries, and then be able to move into this stage where I do believe after menopause and menopausal women, perimenopausal and perimenopausal women are and will be the most powerful force that this year to be able to change the world. And we are list must listen to our bodies. So the body is having all these work, these this information. It's giving us all this information. I call them your period, your monthly report card. And so it's like, here it is. Here's the information. How did you do this month? And if we are suppressing that information, or we're avoiding it, or we're literally stopping it from happening, from listening to that information, then we are clueless. And we are walking through life clueless. But when we start, our body starts giving us these clues, that's when we can say, hey, thank you. Thank you for this
Yes.
beautiful information that you're giving me. Thank you for this, working through this heat. Okay, that's, I need to release this heat. It's like instead of suppressing these symptoms, which we're asked to do, and so, or in so many ways, it's, of course, it's trying to bring relief, but can we sit with that discomfort?
Yeah.
And transitions and growth spurts are uncomfortable. It's growing pains. And when we have growing pains, it's like, how do we take that pain, look at the pain, be with the pain, and not push it away?
Absolutely. So beautifully said. Thank you for that, for everything around transitions. And I get excited too for the younger generations of this information being shared, and they're hungry for it. They know. It's like my daughter's 22, and there's so much wisdom. I mean, there always was. It was just so suppressed and put in tight containers. So I want to just kind of, as we end our interview today, is like say, a few things about the retreat center and how you offer your work, what you're doing these days.
Thank you. We're here in Costa Rica on the Pacific Gold Coast. It's a retreat center that's a beautiful place to come to, again, transition, right? If you are in a transition, or even if you're not, even if you're like just in a way that where you need to come back to a place where the circadian rhythms, this is the everyone who comes here, it's like they're tired, depleted. There's like a there's a heaviness that comes into this place. And where with our food, we use a food as medicine approach, it's all fresh. It's grown here. It's in, it's made with so much love and intention to nourish you. So when you are coming here, it's being nourished. Your body is being nourished. Your mind is being nourished. And you are cleaning out the vessel. You're starting to come back to these circadian rhythms where eliminating is a powerful medicine, right? So you're eliminating and you're leaving behind what it is that you no longer need. So whether it's giving it back to the land, and the land can handle it. The land here is lush. It's Mother Nature is our greatest teacher. And to me, it's like she has come here, she is fully present here. And so what I've learned through Ayurveda is like this is it. This is the harmony that we can start to take with us. And then we take it back with you. And so it's not just a flash in the pan. It's to me, it's like, okay, yes, this is the kickstart that you could potentially need, and then how do you sustain it? And that's where I use Ayurveda online programs. I will offer one-on-one sessions with people to get them into a place where they can start to change or shift their lifestyle and their environment to suit their what they've created here to carry it on. And if they didn't come here, it's like, what can you do to start to move forward in a way where you're taking a little bit, a daily practice. You're creating a daily practice for yourself, a
Loving.
self-care practice.
Yes. Oh, so good. I'm getting excited. You might have me as a guest
Yeah,
because
love it. I love it.
everything's for a reason, right? I'm like, wait a minute. Thank you for sharing everything today, but you've shared such a wide range of your life here. So thank you for that. I always ask if there's a message that might be coming through you to leave with the listeners today, if you want to take a moment. It doesn't have to be, but usually people are like, yeah, this is what I meant to say or share.
The wisdom lies within you. This is not something that comes from a podcast. The answer won't come from a course that you need to take. The answer won't come from even coming to the retreat necessarily. That ants those things all help give you the environment and the what you need to uncover, to dig a little deeper. But the answer really lives within. And it's, something my uncle said to me when I went to India and I was looking outside of me and I was studying yoga and I was there to study yoga. And he looks at me and he says, Beta, which is a term of endearment. He says, you do not study yoga. You are yoga.
Something
So,
just you know more and more and more with each
you
day.
are yoga. You be the yoga. It's not, you don't do it. You don't need to do anything. It's like, how do you actually uncover your own gifts, your own wisdom to be and be that?
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful. Your work is a gift to the world. Yeah.
Thank
And
you.
thanks for being with us today. Thanks for the listener, as always. So grateful for you. And please share this episode. It's a powerful one. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.